We are wrapping up our series on I Wish Somebody Would. Somebody say that real loud. No, look at somebody and just look real like stern and just say, I wish somebody would.
I wish somebody would.
In kindness, though.
Okay.
No, look at somebody and say it really kind. I wish somebody would. We're talking about showing God's love to the world through simple kindness and how the kindness of God opens the door to share our faith. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So actually, kindness is a door opener. And we've been reading this incredible book, Conspiracy of Kindness, by Steve Shogren. It's been so good. I hope you're reading along with us. It's just been amazing. We'll be having a church-wide Zoom meeting on March 7th. It's going to be a Sunday night. And we're going to just be discussing what God has been speaking to us through this, and we'll have a great time for different people to share what's on their heart, and you can share what God is speaking to you through this great book. I'm delighted to have Pastor Corinne up here on the stage with me today. She is amazing. Everything she does, just co-pastoring with me, and even when she's not speaking, she's having this huge footprint in the ministry. And so she's an amazing mom, she's an amazing wife, and she's a professional juggler of all these hats. And so please give her a big hand. Everybody loves her so much that I think I could probably sit down for a couple weeks and everybody fine to hear you to. Talk. This series has been so amazing, and I think God is really... You know, there's sometimes a word that God is speaking, and it's like God is shifting the culture inside of us or inside of our church. What has been one of your favorite takeaways from this series?
I think just bringing it back to the basics, and that is that kindness is a central part of the gospel. It's a central part of us witnessing to others. If we can't be kind, how will people listen to us? You know, if we don't share his love, if we don't exemplify love, then we don't have a foot in. You know, we don't have influence. Unfortunately, a lot of what people see to be Christianity or believers is something that is not the original design. It's not harshness. It's not judgmentalism. It's not shortness. It's not opinion, but it's kindness. It's the kindness of Jesus. If we follow his example, yeah. Jesus was kind to every person that he met. That's what really brought them to repentance, like the word says.
Amen. I think it's just so beautiful how when we are kind, when we show the fruits of the Spirit, it opens the door actually to share our faith. And it makes it that much easier, you know. We've all probably been in a situation where we come, we try to be open and honest about what God has done in our life and the faith that we have in God, and it seems like just a closed door, a door slammed in your face. Anytime that ever happened to you, you're trying to bring something up about God, and somebody's like, boom. But when we show the fruit of God first, when we yeah. show the love of God, we show the kindness of God, there's this open door for us to really have an organic conversation. So we've been talking about this book. Is there anything that really clicked with you as you were reading this book?
Yes. They talked about the example of doing this, sowing seeds of kindness, doing acts of kindness without expecting anything in return. Like, that was the premise of everything. When they would do things, it was like, we don't want to be compensated. We don't want anything from you. We just want to show you God's love.
And that's really awesome, because that's the very definition of unconditional love is when I'm doing something, I'm not expecting something in return. What Jesus did on the cross, we can never repay him for.
Right.
So he's doing this incredible act of love, incredible act of kindness towards humanity, mm-hmm. and not expecting for us to be able to do something back for him.
And I think it's easy for us to get swept up in those moments. For example, when you hold the door for somebody open, you know, for somebody, and they just walk right through and they don't say anything, you know, you've seen either you've done it or someone else that, you know, done it. They'd be like, you're welcome, you know, Or like when you let somebody cross in front of you while you're waiting somewhere, you know, you would let them cross while you're driving and you kind of get frustrated that they didn't like say, oh, thanks, you know. Though we have to check ourselves. I think those are moments that we say, you know, are we getting upset? Are we wanting to show retaliation? Are we, you know, like, are we sowing seeds of kindness just because God has put that in us? Like, we're supposed to do it. But I think sometimes we allow frustration and life to get the best of us, and we don't do it.
Absolutely. I love this quote by Steve Sjogren. He says, the way we, the church, treat the unchurched serves as a litmus test of spiritual health. So the way that we treat the unchurched serves as a litmus test of spiritual health. So if we're spiritually healthy, we should be having the right response towards right. those that are unsaved, those that are unchurched. And so I think it's so very important that we are showing that. We're showing those fruits. We're showing that, you know, my faith is alive. In the book of James, he talks about faith without works is dead. So if my faith doesn't have works attached to it, then it's really dead. But if people can see that what I'm doing is working, if people can see the works of Christ inside of me, if they can see the love inside of me, if they can see the kindness, if I have those type of works, then they're going to know that something's alive, something's different with us. You know, as the church, oftentimes we talk about different parables, and one of the parables that we love to talk about is the Good Samaritan. Even the world likes the Good Samaritan story, right? And so you have the man that's beat up on the side of the road, and then we get to this point of love your neighbor. And the world likes putting this on a bumper sticker, but we should really, if there's anybody that should understand love your neighbor, it should be God's people. It should be the church. So how do we make that practical? How do we really love our neighbor?
I think it starts at home. We can't expect to love others if we don't, you know, people outside our home, if we don't practice it at home. You know, one of the things that I tell our kids is it's important that you don't treat your friends outside of the home better than you do your own siblings, because they can look for an excuse. Oh, well, it's just my brother. Oh, it's just, no. How you treat each other is a big indicator in where your heart is. How you treat your wife, your husband, your, you know, your mom or your dad, how you treat them indicates where you are. And I know sometimes we can make up excuses and be like, oh, well, they're difficult to work with. Oh, this or that. There's always a reason. But can we find a reason to be that face of kindness for them? Because when we practice it at home, you'll be able to do it more because it's something you're living. But it's so important for us to be consistent, because unfortunately you have people that'll be like super nice to people at work, and then, you know, they get on the phone with somebody they know from home and they're just like chewing them out in front of everybody, you know. So it's kind of inconsistent with your testimony if you're like doing that. So it's important that we start at home.
I was sharing with the men on our men's Zoom meeting that the two hardest people to really consistently show kindness towards are the people closest to us and the people farthest away from us. It's easier to, you know, everybody that you see in a casual basis, you know, your friends, but your wife, your kids, that's the hard stuff, right? Your those that are really close, and then those that see the world very differently than you, right? They're on the other side of the spectrum politically. They're on the other side of the spectrum of like everything that you think is good, they think is bad, you know? So it's easy to not show kindness. But you know what? Jesus died for the Romans that were crucifying him, just as he died for you and me. Yes. And so we have to understand that God's love is this unconditional, broad thing. God, the kindness of God is to be shared, not just with those that it's easiest with, but with you, what you said in the home. That's so important, because that's how we perfect the kindness of God. That's how we perfect. We allow the Holy Spirit to perfect those fruits inside of us at home, because it is harder to those that you're always with and always around to show kindness, to show patience. So let the Holy Spirit work in you in that regard. Luke 6:31 says, do to others the way that you would like them to do to you. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, how would I want to be treated? if I was unchurched? How would I want to be approached? How would I want to be shown and demonstrated the love of God? You know, what if I was there? Because how many know, if it wasn't for God, we'd all be there. How would I want to be, you know, with what urgency would I want to be spoken to about that? And I love the comparison that he gives between when we're sharing faith as Christians is, you know, there's the sharks, the carp, and the dolphin. And he says, you know, there's basically three types of people that share faith that are Christians. Number one, you have the sharks. The sharks, they see somebody that's unsaved and they attack them, right? There's some really powerful stories sometimes, and other times there's a lot of collateral damage. They're the shark. Then we have the carp. The carp, he kind of avoids confrontation. He he's somebody that is complacent, not really going out of their way to share faith. Not really, unless it's right there dropped in their lap. And even then, they might not if it's not convenient. The carp is the one that has become complacent. But he said, what we should strive to be is like the dolphin, because the dolphin embodies all of the strength that the shark has, but yet he has this warmth. He has it. When you see a dolphin, you don't say, oh man, that dolphin's going to attack me. You say, oh wow, that's a great thing. Look at that creation of God. You say, even though I'm not a dolphin, I can appreciate the dolphin. We should be like the dolphin. All the strength of the shark, all the strength of faith. But yet, at the same time, there's a warmth, there's a kindness, there's a friendliness about the way that we're presenting the good news. So what do you think sometimes causes the message to be difficult to believe?
Like I said, I think inconsistency in our lives. One of the things that they referenced in the book about the carp is they swim in like groups and they just kind of go with the flow. You know, and I think sometimes we allow ourselves excuses for reasons why we're not doing something better. I think, you know, we'll chalk it up to, well, this is kind of like how I am. This is my personality. You know, I'm not outgoing, or, you know, I'm not going to let anybody take advantage of me. You know, the Bible says be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and starts like quoting scripture to kind of prop up your weakness, you know, and we can't do that. We have to know, like, God, if we're supposed to be the extension of Jesus, his hands and his feet, we've got to be like him. We've got to be available. We've got to be willing to lay down our lives in every area to say, God, my personality is not a hindrance. I'm not going to let it be a hindrance. My, my areas of weaknesses are not going to be an area of a hindrance to what your spirit is wanting to do through me. How can we be a witness? How can we be an example if we're not willing to lay those things down? You know, if we just hold on to it and we say, well, this is me, God made me like this, you know, and it doesn't really translate that way. So I think that's important to remember.
I think you're exactly right. When a person says one thing and does another, as human beings, we look for inconsistencies. When somebody is saying doesn't line up with what they're doing, that there's there begins to cast doubt on everything that person is saying. So if you said this and you didn't do this, then next time you come around and say something, I don't know if I can trust what you're saying, because you're doing something different than what you're saying. There has to be fruit. So if you say that you love Jesus and you're doing what Jesus said, then why are you doing something different? So if the continuity isn't honest, it's just, I believe, a turnoff to the world. And just as God is looking to see fruit from us, I believe people are looking to see fruit from us, okay? So even if they say, they're still at that place where they're the outside looking in, we can still show the fruit. They want to see the fruit. I want to see if I want to go over there, across the fence, and be over there where you are, but let me see what type of fruit you have over there that's growing. Christian's birthday was yesterday, and he turned 8, and we were doing some birthday type of things that families do. And so we were with some other people, and when everything kind of died down and we were back together just with the family, he turned to me and he said, "Daddy, is so-and-so a Christian?" And that was, that kind of stings.
It's a loaded question.
That's a loaded question because the person professes to be a Christian, but the fruit wasn't there. And even to a child, it was obvious that something was missing. Yes. In that person's demonstration of their faith. They had the words, but they didn't have the actions to prove. They were saying one thing, but yet in their life, there were some things missing. So it's so important that as we as Christians, that when people look at us, that they see the fruit that would be expected from somebody that follows after Jesus. And mm-hmm. I have to just say, the word Christian means little Christs. So that means we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to not just be following him around at a safe distance. We're supposed to resemble Jesus. If you're not resembling Jesus, then go back and look at your life and say, what do I need to change? Holy Spirit, God, help me to change. Help me to bear the type of fruit that I begin to resemble Jesus.
I'm amazed at how God will use children to speak so loudly. You know, when we were presented with this question and him and I were discussing it by ourselves last night, I was like, man, isn't that faith like a child? The Bible tells us we need to have faith like a child. Faith like a child means keeping it real simple. So simple that to him, if you're not being kind, if you're being harsh, if you're not showing the love of Jesus, it equals you're not a Christian. I mean, like, for us who, you know, we go through life and we start putting, well, these are the stipulations and this is if I'm doing all this right, you know, and it goes back to the simple gospel of being like him, being daily trying to be more like Jesus.
That's so good. So when the world sees us, how should we look?
We should look like love. We should look like we are just oozing with his presence, oozing with kindness. That's such a contrast to what's going on in the world right now. You know, there's so many people that hide under this false counterfeit wall of acceptance, and it's not. You know, there's so many, what are those in a contract? All these little like
stipulations.
Yeah, it's just like all these other parts that are unspoken. We really need to come and lead out with love. And I think that when we talked earlier about when we put the cart in front of the horse and we try to get somebody to be transformed and to change and do all this stuff before, you know, the Holy Spirit is doing that, like, then we step out of turn. The thing that God mandated us is to love each other, share the good news with them. You know, we have to show love first. If we don't lead with love first, then what are we leading with, you know? So it's so important that we are ready to dispense. We're carriers of his presence. We're carriers of his hope. We're carriers of his love. So when they brush shoulders with us, they're not brushing up with, oh, man, this person's looking down at me, or, oh, man, this person's just trying to get me on their tally of, like, salvation. You know, they're really feeling the genuine love of Christ. And I know, like, this, I almost forgot, about a month ago, we had there's a neighbor that I didn't really get to talk to. We've been in this neighborhood for about a year. This is one neighbor that I haven't really had interaction with, and so it was a busy day, and I had done school with the kids in the morning, and then I was getting ready. I had to get Ariella to sleep, strolling her outside, and then I was going to go back in for a Zoom meeting that we had online. So we're in this in-between. I'm on the stroll, and as I'm about to go out, the gentleman comes out from the house, and he's like, "Excuse me, do you know when the postman comes? Because I've lost my keys." He had asked me if I had seen keys anywhere. I said, "No, I'm so sorry. I haven't seen. If I see the post person, I don't know when they get here, but I'll let you know." So he starts kind of talking, and I'm realizing, I'm like, man, I got to go, and Christian is with me. So I'm kind of in the middle of all this, kind of in a hurry. So I go on the stroll, and as I'm turning the corner, I see a sign on a lamppost that says, you know, lost keys, and it's got a number. So then I take a picture of it and I send it, and I come over and I give it to the gentleman, and I said, you know, there's maybe their keys are at this house or whatever, if you call them. So he calls. He was so thankful, and he's like explaining to me that he has hearing aids and they're faulty, and he's waiting for these new ones, and it's very difficult for him to communicate because he's having trouble hearing. And he's like, everybody's wearing masks now, and this has just made my life so much more difficult. And I mean, like, he's just going on and on. And so, you know, anyway, I felt so much compassion for him in that moment. But I realize I'm getting a text from him. He's like telling me, the Zoom's about to start. You need to come in. The baby's asleep. Christian is here. I'm like, I got to get her inside so she doesn't wake back up, you know. So I'm saying all this to say sometimes things interrupt our life, our flow. But that man needed somebody to help him. He's elderly. He has a dog. Like, he doesn't have family that lives with him. And so I went back inside the house after I excused myself, and we did the meeting. I come back out. I said, I'm going to go check and see, because I saw the post person was there. And I was like, hey, so did you find your keys? If not, the post person's here. You can see if your package is here. And he like is just gushing and saying he's so thankful he found his keys, he got his package, his hearing aids were like being charged up, and he's just talking and talking and talking, and he had apologized literally like two or three times, like, I'm so sorry for talking your ear off and this and that, and I was like, it's okay, you know. And I just wanted in that moment to let him know, like, because I see this so often. We have like another neighbor who's in his what? Is he like close to 90? Okay. Maybe I jumped it. Okay. See, he's older.
I think he's late 70s.
But he's a sweet elderly gentleman. And one of the neighbors was like, oh, he's so weird and this and that. And I'm like, man, you know, like, he's a sweet guy. And he just, like, people need to be honored and respected, especially at that age. Like, the word instructs us. And all he wants to do is talk sometimes.
He likes to talk.
He does like to talk. Sometimes he gets us in conversations. But my point is, you know, it intrigues him, that gentleman. He comes back and talks to him about, like, the Bible stuff. Like, he asks questions. And so, I mean, you know, these are, like, just examples. But I say all that to encourage you and say, like, sometimes in a busy, we can be busy, but let us not get so busy that we can't take time. I love this quote. Let me share this quote with you. When we talked about the story with the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, you know, the priest was the one who walked by. And this is what they said. In his attempt to be holy, he had disconnected himself from the hurting world around him, the wounded whom God loves. And that just so struck a chord with me, because the truth is there's always a reason. You know, I could have been like, well, this Zoom meeting has to do something with the church. This is like kingdom. It's high priority, and brushed the person off. But I really felt like that I needed to be there in that moment and just be present. And sometimes if we don't do that, we can miss an opportunity. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to open up the heavens and say, stop, speak to this person. That happens sometimes, you know, when you have that sense in your spirit where the Lord speaks to you. But we've been mandated to be kind and to help each other. So you don't have to wait for somebody to tell you this is now when you need to do something. If opportunities present itself, just make yourself presentable, be approachable, be loving, be the light of Christ wherever you go.
That's so good. I think, you know, we know the scripture sometimes where it says things like be in the world but not of the world. And we get the part right about don't be of the world.
Right.
But we miss the part about be in the world. Like, be present, be available to people, that we don't give ourselves permission to disconnect.
Right.
Because God hasn't given us permission to disconnect from the world, but we sometimes give ourselves, oh, I'm going to step back and I'm not of the world. Yeah, but you're supposed to be in the world. If you were not supposed to be in the world, God would just take you completely out of the world and you go be in heaven. But we have an assignment to
yes,
be in
do.
The world, to like the Good Samaritan, like this Samaritan person, that he was the unlikely candidate to help out, but he saw the need and he stepped up. And he was the answer. This is one thing. Colossians 3:12. I love this. Since God chose you to be the holy people, how many people are part of the holy people? You're the chosen people? All right, good. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Look at somebody and say, put the right clothes on.
Put the right clothes on.
You ever showed up to a party and somebody was wearing the wrong thing? They were just overdressed or underdressed. There's a costume party. They don't have a costume on. They're just all wrong. Just coming all kinds of wrong. Sometimes we as Christians come all wrong. We're supposed to be clothed with the right outfit. Scripture tells us that when we come to him, it says that he gives us his righteousness in the place of our filthy rags. All right? So he wants to change our clothes. He wants to give your wardrobe an upgrade. He also wants to give you and clothe you with mercy. He wants to clothe you with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. When the world sees you wearing these things, it's captivating. When you let God dress you, it's going to turn heads. John 13, 35 says, your love for one another will prove. Somebody say prove.
Prove.
Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Just like Christian noticed the one thing, people in the world are going to notice the exact opposite. When they look at you and they say, man, something's different about that person. You see how kind they were, how much love that they showed? That person's got to be a Christian. There's got to be something different about that person. I wonder what it is. And so our love for each other is what proves to the world that we're his disciples. So when the world sees how we love, they know we belong to Jesus. But they have to see that love in us. They have to see that 1 Corinthians 13 on us. That yeah. We say that love is on that person. And that love causes them to be patient and kind, right? To overlook faults, right? To keep no records of wrongs. Not to be irritable. Not to be jealous or boastful or proud. So when we look like 1 Corinthians 13, we look like Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, and when we look like Jesus, man, people want to be around that. People say, man, I like what you're wearing. It's like a good cologne. It's like a good perfume. It's like an amazing outfit. And that's what they compare it to. Man, God wants to clothe us with these things. Pastor Corinne, I'd like for you to just close us out in a word of prayer. I know you got something to say. But close us out in a word of prayer because I think it's so important for us to pray. God, stir this. Yeah. I don't want this just to be a sermon. I want to really get a hold of this love and this kindness so that it becomes a part of my life.
I think it's important for us to remember we can't take somebody somewhere we haven't been. Yeah. So if we haven't experienced God's love or his kindness to a certain extent, then it would be difficult for us to reproduce that. Yeah. Because he's the source of that type of love. He's the source of kindness. And, you know, everything that's good and perfect comes from him. So, you know, as a little vulnerable moment, I grew up in the faith. I grew up in church. And I never really had a moment where I necessarily, like, you know, stepped away from the faith and the physical or went off and did anything crazy. But thank God. But, I, you know, there were moments and seasons where my heart was what you would call prodigal. And that scripture that says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, I so know that to be true. In those moments of just being hardened, you know, and frustrated, I remember just at moments being broken and looking back and saying, man, God, you were so kind. You were so loving. You were still there throughout it all, even when I walked away in my heart, you know, when I was frustrated. And so I just want to say, like, we stand up here today and we're sharing, but we've experienced things that have tested us in these areas. You know, we always share from a place of wanting for people to know that it can be done because God has said it can be done. and we try to live that, you know? So it's, I just want to encourage you, if you need it, all you have to do is pray. All you have to do is ask. The Bible says you know, you have not because you ask not. We got to ask him, Lord, help me to experience your love in this way. Let me experience your kindness in such a way. Open up my eyes that when I see other people, I can want to share this with them. When I see other people, I don't see them through a lens of hurt or frustration or, lack of compassion, but I see them through the eyes of Jesus. I think sometimes we think it's going to be perfect all the time. You know, we come out with this like preconceived idea that once we make the decision, it's just going to, everything's going to flow. But, you know, it's a daily step. It's a daily step of surrendering your life. It's a daily step of saying, Lord, fill me. Just like we sang this song today, fill me up. What are we asking him to fill us up with? Is it just for us? No, it's for us to fill up so we can pour back out till I overflow, so that others can see the overflow in me and want a part of that. Everything God gives us, it's not just for us, it's for others. We're blessed as a byproduct of our obedience. So I just want to encourage you with that today. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for your love that is just like no other. We thank you, God, that you exemplified love for us first by accepting us, Lord, by paying a price for us, Lord. You could have thrown us away, but God, you pulled us in. You said, I call you son and daughter. Lord, we thank you for that. And God, we receive it and we say that we surrender, Lord. If there's anything that we have allowed to just be stuffed up in our hearts and our minds, God, that is not of you, we surrender it right now, Lord. Take it out, Holy Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that we make room for you to fill us with your perfect love. Fill us with your kindness, God. We pray that you would help us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit daily, Lord. We leave no room for flesh to take over. But Holy Spirit, we give you rule and reign in our lives. And we say thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid for us, Lord. We grab a hold of this word today, God. We say, let it be so. Let it be done in our lives, God. And I thank you, Lord, that this seed of your word would take deep root in our hearts and bring forth much, much fruit. Bring glory to your name, God, through our demonstration of your love. We thank you, God, that as we exalt you, as we continue to worship you and live our lives, God, that it would draw people to you. We give you thanks for this today. We bless your name, God. I thank you for every person. If there's anybody that has not experienced your love like this, God, I pray today that your hand would leave a mark on them, God, that they would know today, that today would be marked. Today is the day I felt God's presence. Today is the day, Lord, that I met you. I pray, Lord, that you continue to open up our eyes to the things unseen, God, that we haven't even thought of yet, Lord, in your presence and because of your love. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hope that you will. I'm so excited about our good friends, Pastors Andy and Rebecca Arguez, coming down on the 13th and 14th. I want to tell you, this prophetic summit is going to be amazing. I've been talking with our team. I've been talking with Prophet Eddie. I've been talking with our wonderful community here. And we're so excited. It's going to be March the 13th. And it's going to be something that you won't regret being there. So it's going to be 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Go ahead and mark your calendar because it's going to be awesome. Pastor Corinne and I are going to be there, and excited for the impartation that's going to be there. Last Sunday, we had a special guest, and there were some really amazing things that happened in the Spirit. Amen. All right, slow clap. Yeah. And so I know that there was also some things that some might not have been 100% comfortable with, and that's okay. Sometimes we go on a spiritual journey together as a church, and we get into some new waters. And even the greatest moves of the Spirit throughout history have seen God moving in powerful ways, and at the same time, you have all kinds of different people and different personalities. But thank God he's a grace-giving God who moves through imperfect people. And we can see that throughout Scripture, when God used David, God used Solomon, God used Moses, God used Peter, and many others despite their imperfections. So we're all imperfect people striving to become more like Jesus. So as believers, I want our house to be like this. It's our job to follow the Holy Spirit's direction and, of course, measure everything by the Word. But let's have the maturity and grace to not lose sight of what God is doing in the moment. So I'm thankful for God's guidance and what He is continuing to do here at Hope. Greater things are yet to come. Amen.